Blog Talk Radio.
I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh,
bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Amen, amen. Anybody out there today that can say they love Jesus? Hallelujah. Well, if you profess to love him, hey, glory to God, then you have to have something working on the inside. Amen. Woo, glory. Oh, how I love Jesus. I don't know about you all, but just riding in the car today, hallelujah, I begin to think on his goodness. Just thinking, when you think on his goodness and all that he has done for you, something begins to well up on the inside. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And as I begin to drive, glory to God, I thought on God's goodness and how wonderful and how kind and how loving he has been to me. Truly, we often hear the cliche saying, he's been better to me than I've been to myself. Well, that's my testimony on the day. God has been better to me than I've been to myself. Hallelujah. And I know beyond the shadow of a doubt, if he had not filled me with this precious gift, this anointing, hallelujah, this power that's dwelling on the inside, Holy Ghost power, fire baptized, oh God, I bless you today. Hallelujah. Did not know. This segment is titled A Time of Reflection. Glory to God. And I just got to reflect a little bit as we open up today. Oh God, I bless you today, God. I thank you. Hallelujah. And as we begin to hear the messenger on today, I think about, I'm reflecting on my humble beginnings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord gave me an opportunity to come out. I was reading a message this morning, Sister Ruby and Dr. Singleton, that I preach. I'm coming out of this. Hallelujah. Trying to prepare myself to speak on Sunday at a church. But as I begin to just reflect on where God, what he's been to me and how good he's been to me, hallelujah, I think about when I left New Orleans, hallelujah. Did not know nothing about the Holy Ghost. Did not know nothing about living right. Came from a Methodist background. Oh, but I remember my grandmother, my great-grandmother, matter of fact. She told me, she said, hallelujah, when I left to come to Los Angeles, she said, I have a nephew there. She also had a brother there that was very wealthy, hallelujah, very affluent and, you know, had degrees. He had been to Tuskegee Institute. Just doing a little reflection today in this of God. And she didn't tell me, she said something about her brother, but she impressed upon me to go and see her nephew. She said, you go and meet my nephew, Winston. And she said, Winston is going, she said, Winston is going to help you. Hallelujah. And as I look back now, I didn't know what she meant, and she probably didn't know everything she meant. Hallelujah. But Winston was a Holy Ghost preacher. Hey, glory to God. And I was there in Los Angeles about 3 months before I even went with my two little children. My daughter was 11 years old, and my son was 7. That was in 1984. Amen. And surely, hallelujah, upon meeting this man of God, when I met him, God had changed my heart. God, see, God gets your heart ready before the transition take place, before the transformation take place. God start dealing with your heart. Hey, glory to God. He just don't deal with you instantly. God deal with your, God could be dealing with your heart years in advance before you submit to his will. Hallelujah. And I'm just reflecting today. Hey, glory to God, because God's been good to me. And as we think about this subject matter today, the gift of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, whichever one you feel comfortable with. I know it's some power that I did not have 30 years ago. Hallelujah. Almost 30 years ago. Didn't even know nothing about the Holy Ghost. They asked the question in the Bible, hey, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? I'm going to let the speaker get on into that. But I just had to give God some glory today. You know, I had to just thank him. When I look back over my life and I see where God has brought me from, no, I'm not, I don't have my mansion. Hallelujah, but I have a peace down in my sanctified soul. Hallelujah, because I have made a commitment that I'm going to serve God. I don't care what comes. I don't care what goes. I'm going to serve God. Hallelujah. He's been mighty, mighty good to me. Oh, I bless him today, and I thank God for each and every one of you all. I thank God for this platform. I thank him for this wonderful door of opportunity to be able to come on a time of reflection and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with you, our audience. Hallelujah. I thank God for the callers. I thank God for the listeners. I thank God for those that go back into the archives, those that listen in the chat room. In 21 months, looking at the stat sheets, over 59,000 listeners. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God will use any means. He'll use any tools. He'll use any avenues to get his word out. Because he said his gospel is going to be preached to every nation. Hallelujah. And I just thank God for this tool of Blog Talk Radio. Thank God for Sister Ruby, our co-host, who have just diligently been so patient and have learned how to work this switchboard and open up this radio broadcast and the chat room and the promote on the social media. It's a lot of work. See, you all just call in on the phone line. You don't know the work that this entails. Hallelujah. But God knows. So we give him glory today. I just give him glory. I love the Lord. Hallelujah. I love him because of who he is, not because of the power and what he can do, but just because of who he is, just because of what he's been in my life. Hallelujah. So we greet each and every one of you all. We have a touchy subject this week, but it's a needful subject. Because if you really want the manifestations of God to be fully implemented in your life, you need this gift. And this is a free gift. Hallelujah. There's no charge to it. But one thing God requires, he requires for us to live holy. Because he said, holiness without no man shall see the Lord. I don't care what title you have, you better live holy. Because your title ain't going to get you into heaven. Your holiness, how you have lived before God and before men, you don't know, see yet. That's what's going to determine your final destination. Oh, God, I love you today. But I thank God for our speaker today. He's well prepared. He's well equipped. He is anointed. He loved the Lord. He is committed. He is sold out to preaching and teaching this gospel. Amen. So I'm going to let him open up. I don't know who's on the line. Can't see right now. Hallelujah. But I want to present to some and introduce to others our speaker of the hour, and that's none other than District Elder Dr. Winston L. Singleton, Jr. of Greater Enrichment Ministries there in Los Angeles, California. and eyes he can open up with the word of prayer, and however the Lord lead him. We're talking about the gift of the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Spirit. God bless you, Dr. Singleton.
Thank you very much, Evangelist Adrian, and praise the Lord to all that's in the out there in radio land as well as in the internet. We thank the Lord for this opportunity to come forth and to speak on behalf of this topic on today, talking about the Holy Ghost / Holy Spirit. And we're just so elated because this particular power that comes from heaven is so needed today in our lives, in our being, and even working in the church. But there's a misconception. There's a misappropriation. There is a disassociation with the Holy Ghost. So before we go further, let's go into a word of prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus right now, we thank you, Father, for those that have come up on the land of the line to listen into the word of God. Father, we ask you, Lord God, to open up our ears of understanding. For you, Father, you said in your word that he that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And Father, we thank you, Lord God, for the faithful listeners that they come on a daily basis. And we thank you, Lord, for those that go into the archives. Father, we ask you, Lord, to bless in the name of Jesus that this word will go out and not return to you void, but it will accomplish wheresoever it has been sent. Father, we give you praise and glory through the Holy Ghost, we pray. Amen. Yes, we're just so elated and so honored to be here today. As this host had made mention there, this is a touchy subject. But what I want you to do this morning is open up your mind. Don't get some of the things I'm going to be saying. If some things offend you, I'll tell you to do as my instructor used to tell me back in the day in Bible college. Just put it on the shelf, and for every so length of time, it will come to you. But we have, particularly me, I'm of Pentecostal background, and I do believe in the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives utterance. But we have sometimes people have misconceptions because, first of all, a lot of people get mixed up because a lot of the contemporaries of today, most of the mainstream churches, they say that it's not the Holy Ghost but the Holy Spirit. But I just want to ease your mind today and just let you know, as I was doing further study, and you can also do it as well, you know they have a lot of English translations of the Old and New Testament of today. We have to take note that a lot of us in the traditional church and still do use the King James Version, the authorized King James Version. You'll find out that the King James Version, just giving a brief history, just a very, very brief history, that the King James Version was written between 1609 and 1611 A.D. So that tells you that the verbiage of that time is a little different than, a little variation than it was now in this day and time. For an example, if I would say that I'm going to eat something, so I say, I will eat. Well, back in those days, they say, thou shalt eateth. Or if I want to go to sleep, thou shalt sleepeth. Or if I want to run, thou shalt runneth. Well, runneth today is run. Eateth is eat. Sleepeth is sleep. So you see the verbiage involved here. I love the King James because of the poetic sound it has and the essence because it is transliterating the ancient Hebrew and Greek of this into our time. However, we understand that through scholarship and through many archaeological findings that they have found earlier copies of what the Word of God was saying in the Greek and Hebrew. So I'm not knocking King James. I love King James. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, or your mind, all thy soul, your total being, and all thy might, your strength. I do not go against King James at all, but you have to notice that out of the other translations, English translations, King James, if you compare them all together, King James is the only one that say Holy Ghost. But I'm still going to use the Holy Ghost because I like the way it sounds. And, yes, back in those days, the spirit was considered a ghost. You remember back in the days, one of my favorite cartoons was Casper, the friendly ghost, the friendliest ghost you know. Okay, I'll stop right there. But so Casper is a spirit. But back in those days, they used the spirit as ghost. So the Bible says that his word is spirit and his word is life. The Holy Ghost is also spirit. So don't get caught up in the verbiage of the difference between Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit. It's interchangeable, but we also have to take note that the verbiage and the language structure of that 16th century King James Authorized Version, today we're using a lot of the mainstream churches now are using not the traditional King James. And even, like you notice, the new King James, it don't say Holy Ghost, it says Holy Spirit. So, but I'm still going to use Holy Ghost. And if I'm in the church preaching, I'm going to use Holy Ghost. And sometimes I'll use Holy Spirit. It's interchangeably. It's okay. But the Bible says, my word shall not go out and return unto me void. If that word is anointed, whether it's Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, you and I will be touched by it. And that's what we have to understand, that God's word is spirit. And he said God is a spirit, and he seeketh such that we worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, look what he said here concerning truth. The Bible says in the book of St. John, chapter number 17, I believe in verse 19, but it might be 17, either 17 or 19, it says, sanctify them through thy truth, for thy word is truth. So the sanctification of the word is truth. And truth, he said, to know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And if you find the truth, walk therein. So God's word is truth. So like I said before, and the host started off this week with giving you, to let you know that the Holy Ghost has other titles associated with it. When I say the Holy Ghost, I'm talking about the Spirit of God. But I'm also referring to the Holy Ghost as the Comforter. And we'll get into the Word of God. I'm going to go all scripture today. Because the Bible said, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is established. So today, we're going to go Bible today. We're going to go Bible-licious. Bible-licious today. Yes, yes, yes. Because he said, oh, taste and see. Lord have mercy. He said the word is sweeter than the honey and the honeycomb. You see what I'm saying? So the word of God is edible to eat. But going back to the Holy Ghost is also called the Comforter. And the Holy Ghost is also called the Spirit of Truth. And the Holy Ghost is also called the Promise of the Father. And we will get into that. And then we'll get into the tongues and all that too. So don't get caught up on the tongues. Get caught on receiving the Holy Ghost. You just say, Lord, I want your spirit, which is the Holy Ghost. And as we pray today that you'll get an understanding of what we are. And if you don't have it, get it. And if you do have it, keep it. And if you have it and you keep it, make sure it's the genuine Holy Ghost. Because the Bible said there's spirits out there, many. There's many spirits out there that go out into the world to deceive. So therefore, what we're going to start off, I said that the Holy Ghost is also called the Comforter. It's also called the Spirit of Truth, and it's called the Promise of the Father. Those are interchangeable titles that represent the manifestation of the Holy Ghost. So what we're going to do right now, we're going to go to scriptures. I'm going to read each one of the scriptures, and by the time the 2 hours is up, you will have an understanding. Amen? So first of all, you should have a pencil and pad waiting or have it recorded where you can go to yourself, because we're talking Bible today. No theological viewpoint of mine. We're talking about what the Bible says concerning of the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. Okay, so I said right now the Holy Ghost is the Comforter. First of all, I'm going to go to the book of St. John, chapter number 14, verse 16. The following scriptures I'm going to make known and elaborate on is going to deal with the Holy Ghost as being the Comforter. And then I'll go down to each other one. I'll be talking about the Holy Ghost in terms of the Spirit of Truth, and I'll be talking about the Holy Ghost in terms of the Promise of the Father. Then we'll start going to some other areas that I want to share with you on this afternoon. Are you ready? Get set. Here we go. Now, I want you to turn to the book of St. John's Gospel, chapter number 14, verse 16. It says concerning the Comforter. And I want to let you know something. See, before the day of Pentecost, Jesus was already talking about the Holy Ghost. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, just digressing for a moment, the Bible says in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2, verse 20, it says, and are built upon the foundation of the prophets and the apostles, and Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. If Jesus being the chief cornerstone himself, he had to have something to say concerning of this foundational truth regarding the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. So this is what a lot of the stuff right now we're going to talk about what Jesus said. And this is before Jesus went off the scene to go sit on the right hand of the Father. Jesus began to let them know that the Holy Ghost is a comforter, it's the spirit of truth, and it's the promise of the Father. So St. John chapter number 14, verse 16, he says, Jesus, and a lot of you that have King James and other translations, you know whatever Jesus said was in red color. No, someone didn't drop punch on your pages. They typed in the red letters saying that Jesus spoke. So Jesus said in St. John chapter number 14, verse 16, he said, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Let me read that again. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Why? Because I'm getting ready to leave. I'm going to give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. We're talking about this comforter of the Holy Ghost. Jesus also said in chapter number 14, verse 26, 14 and 26, St. John. He says, but the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you, that's the Holy Ghost, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. See, the Holy Ghost is testifying of Jesus, and the Holy Ghost also teaches us what to say. In fact, I want to digress for a moment just to let you know that, let you know as a teacher, when we do talk about teachers, but I don't want to go over this again, but the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse 13 states, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. See, so this Holy Ghost is here to teach us what we need to know and bring to our remembrance what we should know. The reason why some of you may not remember things so well, and the reason why you're not learning, you may not have the Holy Ghost. You may not have the Holy Spirit. So what you have to do is pray to the Father that he send that Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit to you, that it may abide with you and in you, to be able to discern the things that is needed to help us in our spiritual life. Amen? So let me go back over verse number 26 of chapter number 14. He says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you, the Holy Ghost, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And then we got to go a little further. Jesus said in church chapter number 14, let's go back to 16 and 17 again. Verse 16 and 17 of chapter number 14 says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. But we'll go into that later. So what I'll do, I'll leave that a little later. So the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, is what we need right now. Let's go to St. John chapter number 15, verse 26. Jesus was saying this as well, concerning the Holy Ghost is the Comforter. He says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. Did you hear that? The Comforter is standing in the place of Jesus Christ, because when Jesus left, we needed to continue to be comforted. Yes, he's comforting us from the right hand of the Father, but we needed something with us and in us to show us the way, the truth, and the life. Okay, so that's 15 and 26. Now let's go to 16 and 7. 16, verse 7 of St. John. Jesus also said this now. He said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient, or it's necessary, well necessary, for you that I go away. Let me repeat that. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, you all that listening to me. It is needful or expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. So Jesus had to get out of here. 3.5 years ministry, he had to get out. Because why? I have to allow the Holy Ghost to come in and lead you the rest of the way. Amen? So men and brethren, saints of God and friends, you need the Holy Ghost. In other words, you need the Comforter. Now we're going to go into now the Holy Ghost is also the Spirit of Truth. Not only is it the Holy Spirit, it's the Holy Ghost, it's the Comforter, and it is the Spirit of Truth. Let's see what Jesus says concerning the Spirit of Truth. Like I said before, Jesus is making known this. Paul, they have not said nothing yet because Paul wasn't on the scene. But Jesus was talking about the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. He says here in St. John, and some of these verses and chapters are going to be redundant. So please keep note. We want you to keep track. We just got through talking about the Holy Ghost is the Comforter. And I gave you scriptures. Now we're talking about the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Truth. We want you to turn to St. John chapter number 14, verse 17. It says, even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it see him not, neither knoweth, that's King James now, knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwell with you, and watch this, and shall be in you. The Holy Ghost right now, disciples, are with you, but later on, in the book of Acts, it shall be in you. Now, this is Jesus talking. This ain't Reverend Bubba. This is not Bishop and Apostle John. And No. Jesus is saying it because he's the chief cornerstone of our foundational truth. Okay, let's see what else Jesus said about it. Let's go back now to St. John chapter number 15, verse 26. He says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of Truth, see, that's also called the Spirit of Truth, which proceeded from the Father, he, the Holy Ghost, shall testify of Jesus Christ. Let me just digress for a moment. The book of Hebrews, chapter number 1, verse 1 and 2, he said, in solitary times, in ancient times, and in diverse manners, in many different ways, God spoke to our fathers by the way of the prophets, but having in these last days spoke to us through his Son, Jesus Christ, who has been appointed heir of all things. So the Holy Ghost says here now, let me read that again, verse number 26 of chapter number 15. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of Truth, which proceeded from the Father, he, the Holy Ghost, he shall testify of me. Because right now in the last days, Jesus Christ is speaking. He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men, not degrees. He gave some. Well, Jesus is speaking right now. So the Holy Ghost is testifying of what Jesus is saying in the last days. But I must receive the Holy Ghost in order to know what Christ is saying to me and to us what to do concerning of this spiritual institution of the kingdom of God. All right, let's go on further now. St. John chapter number 16, verse 13 states, Jesus speaking, he said, how be it when he, the Spirit of Truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. You know what I said earlier. Sanctify them with thy truth. thy word is truth. Let me say this. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will lead, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that he shall speak. And he will show you things to come. Because Jesus Christ is talking now. The book of Hebrews just said it. In these last days, God is speaking to us through his Son, Jesus Christ, whom he appointed heir of all things. So if Jesus is speaking, the Holy Ghost must hear what Jesus is saying and deliver it unto us. Isn't that a wonderful thing? But you must have the Holy Ghost. You need the Comforter. You need the Spirit of truth. Now we're going to go now. The Holy Ghost is the promise of the Father. See, it's the Comforter. It's the Spirit of truth. And it's also known as the promise of the Father. And so this is what Jesus said. And then Luke is going to talk about. Luke is saying it, what Jesus said. And Luke wrote two volumes. He wrote his first volume with the book of Luke, St. Luke, Gospel. And then he wrote his second volume with the book of Acts. So now the physician, Luke, which was one of the companions of one of the apostles, he is now speaking and giving validity concerning about what Jesus said regarding the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, as the promise of the Father. All right, we're going to go to the book of Luke, chapter number 24, verse 49. That's Luke, chapter number 24, verse 49. Jesus said it because it's in the red. He said, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry," or wait, "ye in the city of Jerusalem." I want you to wait in a particular place for a particular time to receive a particular thing. Let me read that again. "And behold, and look, I send the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." Let me read that again and let you know where you had to go get it originally in the beginning. "And behold," this is what Luke is saying, that Jesus said, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." See, the Holy Ghost came from the Father. It came down from the Father in Jesus' name. And look what he says in Acts, the second volume of chapter number one, verse 4, the second volume of Luke's gospel writings. He said, "And being assembled," that was the disciples, the 12 and the 120, "and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, ye have heard of me." Jesus was talking and telling them about that. When you leave this Mount of Olivet, because the Bible said in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, he began to say the Great Commission. He spoke to one audience, which was the 12 or the 11 disciples, because Judas killed himself and Matthias wasn't yet selected. He told them in the book of Mark, chapter number 16, verse 15, Jesus told his disciples, he said, "Go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature or creation. He that believeth," what I'm saying is, "baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name ye shall cast out devils." Now watch this. "In my name ye shall speak with new tongues." Jesus is beginning to bring forth tongues, y'all. But we're going to get into that a little bit. First of all, we have to understand that when you talk about the Holy Ghost / Holy Spirit, you're talking about three entities here. Or no, three titles that mean the same thing. We're talking about the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, and the promise of the Father. Now, Acts chapter number 2, verse 33, this is what Peter said. He said, "Therefore, being by the right hand of the Father exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth," he has shed forth this, "which ye now see and hear." We'll find out what they saw, and we'll find out what they heard. But Peter was saying, therefore being, This is Acts chapter number 2, verse 33. He said, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, talking about Jesus Christ, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, which is the promise of the Father, he has shown forth this, which you now see and hear. So, just to recap for a moment, we're finding out so far that the Holy Ghost is called the Comforter, the Holy Ghost is called the Spirit of Truth, and the Holy Ghost is called the promise of the Father. But let's give some more validity and more manifestation on what the Holy Ghost is. You need the Holy Ghost. If you notice, I didn't say you need tongues right now. I said you need to know what you need to get. And you need the Holy Ghost in order to be able to have the ability to teach, discern, and to show forth fruits of the Spirit. Now I'm going into now, the Holy Ghost is a teacher. I repeat, the Holy Ghost is a teacher. We're going to be redundant in some of these scriptures now. We want you to go now to the book of Luke, chapter number 12, verse 12. That's Luke, chapter number 12, verse 12. I pray right now that you're getting something out of this. I am. Okay, Luke, chapter number 12, verse 12 states, Jesus said it because it's in red. He said, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say. Let me say that again. See, some of y'all are saying some stuff that the Spirit didn't tell you to say, and that's why they confuse you, because God is not the author of confusion. Jesus said in Luke 12 and 12, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say. Mm-hmm. He said in St. John chapter number 14, verse 26, regarding the Holy Ghost as teacher, it said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he, the Holy Ghost, shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Then it says in the book of 1 Corinthians, concerning the Holy Ghost as a teacher. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse 13 states, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And lastly, regarding the Holy Ghost as teacher, we're going to go back to St. John's Gospel, chapter number 16, verse 13. It said, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. So the Holy Ghost is a teacher. But if you don't have the Holy Ghost / Holy Spirit, how can you learn? See, the Bible said, faith cometh by hearing of the Word of God. How can you hear without a preacher? And how can he preach except they be sent? The Holy Ghost came through the Father, sent by the name of Jesus, to come into your heart, come into your mind, come into your being, to cause you to be a supernatural being in this mortal body. The Bible said, that same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead, if it dwell in you, it will do something. It will quicken your mortal bodies. Oh, I feel like preaching up in here today. I feel like preaching. And you're going to get some preaching today, too. But I'm going to teach right now. All right, so the Holy Ghost is the teacher. The Holy Ghost is a witness of Christ and me, or us. I'll say that again. The Holy Ghost is a witness of Christ and me, or us. He said, where did you get it from? I'm about to tell you. St. John chapter number 15, verse 26 says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you, Jesus said this now, from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. He's a witness of Christ. Okay, let's go now to the book of Acts, chapter number 15, verse 8, regarding the Holy Ghost. He says, and God, which knoweth the hearts or the mind, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. You see that? The Holy Ghost is a witness not only to Christ, but it's also a witness to us. Romans chapter number 8, verse number 16 and 17. I'll repeat. Romans chapter number 8, verse 16 and 17. Regarding of the Holy Ghost is a witness of Christ and of us. He said, the Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children we are, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also glorify together. See, the Holy Ghost is a witness of Christ and is a witness of us. Romans chapter number 9, verse 1 states, chapter number 9, verse 1, Romans say, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. See, Paul was talking here. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Let me read that again. Paul said, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. See, the Holy Ghost has my mind, got my body going. It's quickening myself because the Bible said we don't know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit, the Holy Ghost itself, making intercessions through groans that cannot be uttered. And what it does, it reads the spirit of my mind. The spirit of my mind constitute my attitude and my thoughts. The Holy, you said I need a man. The Holy Ghost said you need more joy. You said I need a car. The Holy Ghost said you need more endurance. So if you got the Holy Ghost and you start praying some off prayers based on your needs and wants and desires, the Holy Ghost know what to say unto God for you because it make an intercession for you. Let me go back now. The Holy Ghost is a witness of Christ and of me or us. The last scripture of that, Hebrews chapter number 15, or chapter number 10, excuse me, Hebrews chapter number 10, verse 15 and 17. That's Hebrews 10, 15 and 17, or 15 to 17. Or 15 through 17, however you want to use it. We're going to read two verses. It says here, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. Let me repeat that. Wherefore the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. It's not only a witness to Christ, but it's a witness to us. For after that he has said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, said the Lord. So I'm a prophecy now. I will put my laws into their hearts, and their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. See, God was doing a thing, y'all, the justification by faith came by the way of the Holy Ghost. Bear witness that in these last days, said the Lord, I will put my laws, not the law itself, the righteousness of the law, through faith. I will put my laws in their heart or their mind, and in their minds I will write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Through the Holy Ghost we have forgiveness of sin. Because it's a promise of the Father. It's a covenant unto us in these last days concerning of what we need. But you have to get the Holy Ghost. I didn't say tongues yet, but you need to get the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. All right, let's move on. So the Holy Ghost is a witness of Christ and of us. Now, we're going to get into the nitty-gritty now. The Holy Ghost is power. Let me say that again. The Holy Ghost is power. Can you say power? Say power. That's what I'm talking about. The Holy Ghost is power. Look what he said in the book of Acts, chapter number 1, verse 8. And I really want you to take note of what I'm going to say here because I'm going to open up some things to you concerning of us having the power. Look what he said in verse number 8, chapter 1 of Acts, which is the second volume of Luke. He said, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses of me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Because I got something to say about this. Verse number 8 of chapter number 1 of Acts says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses of me unto me, both in what? Watch this. In Jerusalem, and watch this. In all Judea and Samaria, and watch this, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. You said, what is he saying? What Jesus did here, because it's in red print, Jesus was prophesying about the entire book of Acts. He said, you're going to be witnesses of me. After you receive the Holy Ghost, you're going to be witnesses of me. You're going to be able to tell the story. You're going to be able to tell the truth. You're going to be able to discern. You're going to be able to teach others things that you know and things you don't know. You're going to be able to be profound and prolific in your delivery. Hallelujah. And you'll be able to tell the world about the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everywhere where that believes, everyone that believes the gospel through the Holy Ghost shall receive power. Yes. You said, well, what is he talking about? In Jerusalem and in all Judea and in all Samaria and in the uttermost parts of the earth. I'm going to give you something right now. When I talk about the witnesses of Jerusalem, I'm talking about Acts chapter number 1, verses 1, all the way to verse number 8, or chapter number 8, verse 4. So Acts chapter number 1, starting at verse 1 to chapter number 8, verse 4, all those chapters and verses have to do with the witnesses in Jerusalem. In other words, they did everything Jerusalem. They didn't go outside of Jerusalem. They stayed right there. Chapter number 1 to chapter number 8, verse 4. That is called the Jerusalem witness. Now, when you're talking about when they begin to move on, because there was great persecution. So from chapter number 8, verse 5, to chapter number 12, verse 25, we're talking about the witnesses in Judea and all Samaria. When we talk about the witnesses in Judea and all Samaria, that's chapter number 8, verse 5 of Acts, all the way to the chapter number 12, verse 25. And when he said witnesses to the uttermost parts of the earth, we're talking about chapter number 13 to chapter number 28. That's when Paul took it Billy Graham style and began to travel all throughout the world spreading the good news. But they became witnesses after they received the Holy Ghost in all Jerusalem, chapter number 1, verse 1 through chapter number 8, verse 4, and to all Judea and in Samaria, chapter number 8 of Acts, verse number 5, all the way to 12 and 25, and witnesses of the uttermost parts of the earth, chapter number 13 to chapter number 28. So when Jesus stated in prophecy, but ye shall receive power, that's verse number 8 of chapter number 1, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in all Samaria and in the uttermost parts of the earth. Those witnesses right there, that stated the whole book of Acts. But how many of you have passed up Acts? You went Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. You skipped Acts and went right to Romans. How can you understand the Holy Ghost when you don't talk about the beginning of the church? You can't fill in the blanks with nothing, but you have to bring in Acts to bridge the Gospels along with the history or along with the Pauline letters, letters that Paul wrote, along with the general letters, letters that Paul did not write, and prophecy, the book of Revelation. You must tie them together. The missing link of understanding the Holy Ghost is not including the book of Acts, chapters number 1 through 28. I hope you're getting something out of this. Now we're going further now. that in most of these scriptures, you'll find out that the Holy Ghost is power. You must have it. Okay, Acts chapter number 8, verse 19 says, saying, that's chapter number 8, verse 19 of Acts. It says, saying, give me also this power. This is what Simon the Sorcerer was saying. He said, give me also this power, the Holy Ghost, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you what that enemy, that wicked one, that warlock, that witch said, that sorcerer said. He was telling Peter and John, he said, saying, give me also this power, that on whosoever I lay hands, he or she may receive the Holy Ghost. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is power. Okay? Chapter number 10 of Acts, verse number 38. Chapter number 10 and 38, regarding of the Holy Ghost being power. It says, how God, and Peter was talking to Cornelius and his family. We'll get into that a little further, but he was talking to about the gospel. He said here, Peter said to Cornelius and his family, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, whom went about doing good and healing all that were opposed or oppressed, of the devil, for God was with him. That's chapter number 10, verse 38. Now let's go to chapter number 15, verse 13 of Romans regarding the Holy Ghost in power. That's Romans chapter number 15, verse 13. 15 and 13 says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. See, the Holy Ghost is power. And the reason why some of you are powerless, either you don't have the Holy Ghost or you don't believe in the Holy Ghost for it to lead you where you need to go. So if you don't have it, get it. And if you have it, keep it. And if you keep it and make it applicable to your life, you shall continue and perpetually be powerful through the Holy Ghost. Amen? All right, let's go on further now. The book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 1, verse 5 says, that's 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 1, verse 5. Let me say it again. 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 1, verse 5 says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. So therefore, those scriptures let you to know that the Holy Ghost is not only is called the Comforter, not only called the Spirit of Truth, and it's also called the promise of the Father. But the Holy Ghost is a teacher. The Holy Ghost is a witness of us and Christ. And the Holy Ghost is power. Now, I want to go back now and talk about how John the Baptist prophesied about the future baptism of the Holy Ghost. We're starting to get into it now. We're going to get to the tongue just in a moment. But I have to lay a foundation to you that this Holy Ghost is the Spirit that comes from God, that dwell in every one of the baptized believers in the Holy Ghost. If you don't have it, you got to get it. If you have it, keep it. And if you keep it and have it and believe in it, it will do what is instructed to do from the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Here I'm going to now. Scripture is dealing with John the Baptist prophesies about the future baptism of the Holy Ghost. We're going to start with Matthew chapter number 3. The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter number 3, verse 11. That's Matthew 3 and 11. It reads, Matthew 3 and 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he, Christ Jesus, that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes or sandals I am not worthy to bear. he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and that with fire. That's John the Baptist now prophesying, talking about the future event of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He also says in the book of Mark, chapter number 1, verse 8, Mark 1 and 8. And look, let me just digress while you're getting that. The Bible says that out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is established. How dare you call me a false prophet? How dare you call me an error when I'm bringing scriptures to you? How dare you say that I don't know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about the word of God. You need to get in that Bible and read it for yourself, because the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so you're going to call me a liar, and I don't know what I'm talking about, but I just gave you scriptures back to back to back. You need to hear what the word is saying. The Bible said, he that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. So let's see what Mark number 1 and 8 is saying. Mark chapter number 1, verse 8. Regarding of John the Baptist prophesying concerning of the future event of baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm so happy. I'm so excited right now. All right, here we go. Here we go. He says in Mark chapter number 1, verse 8, I indeed have baptized you with water, but he, Christ, shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Let's see what John is saying too. John the Baptist said in Luke chapter number 3, verse 16, that's Luke 3 and 16. He says, John the Baptist, or John the Baptizer, for you scholars out there, or theologians, John the Baptizer answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, and latches of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and that with fire. That's Luke 3 and 16. Now let's see with St. John, chapter number 1, verse 33. That's John, St. John, Gospel, chapter number 1, verse 33, regarding of John the Baptist prophesying about the future baptism of the Holy Ghost. John 1 and 33 states, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. See, I like King James. He which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. Now we're going to go to St. John's Gospel, chapter number 7, verse 38 and 39. That's St. John's Gospel, chapter number 7, verse 38 and 39 says, and Jesus spoke about this, he said, and he that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his or her belly shall flow rivers of living water. Let me repeat that again. I feel like humming on that. Hallelujah. This is what Jesus said. He said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his or her belly shall flow rivers of living water. But look what it said in parentheses. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given. Because why? Because that Jesus was not yet glorified. When Jesus died, was buried, and rose again, and went to the back of the Father, that's when Jesus Christ was glorified. And after Jesus left, he said, go ye in Jerusalem and wait for the power of the promise of the Father that you shall receive. He said, I got to go away so I can send another comforter in my name. We're talking about the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, the comforter, the Spirit of truth, the promise of the Father. The Holy Ghost is a teacher. The Holy Ghost bear witness of Christ in you, in me. And he also is power. Let me get back now. Let me read that again. John 7 and 38 and 39. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his and her belly shall flow rivers of living water. In parenthesis, it says, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they did believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Okay, let's go now to St. John's Gospel, chapter number 20, verse 22. That's John 20 and 22. John 20 and 22. It reads, "And when he had said this, he breathed on them." How many want Jesus to breathe on you? I said, breathe on me. Somebody needs Jesus to breathe on you. So when you're in your mind, Lord, breathe on me. Hallelujah. Look what he said here. Let me read that again. I got excited about this. John 20 and 22 says, "And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost." All right? Now,
glory, glory.
Hallelujah. So the baptism of the Holy Ghost is very essential. I didn't say you have to speak in tongues. I said receive the Holy Ghost. We'll tell you in a few moments what you need to have to make known you got it. All right. So what we're going to do now, we're going to read some scriptures recapping concerning of this power. What I'm going to do, let me just go on now. I'm going to go now. It's entitled Receiving the Holy Ghost with the Evidence of Speaking with Tongues. I want you to write down now, receiving the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, Comforter, Spirit of Truth, Promise of the Father, receiving those titles with the evidence of speaking with tongues. Now, before I go further, I want to let you know Jesus stated it at first. The Bible says in the book of St. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 16, verse 15, he said, "Go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature or creation. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned or condemned, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name ye shall cast out devils." But watch this. "In my name ye shall speak with new tongues." Jesus said that. Ye shall, you will, eventually, in the future, after a while, not so many days hence, ye shall speak with new tongues in my name. Look what he said. He said that in Mark chapter number 16, verse 15 to 17. But now I'm going to tell you now, receiving the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, receiving the Spirit of Truth or the promise of the Father with the evidence of speaking in tongues. First of all, we have to understand something here. The body of Christ, according to Paul in the book of Ephesians, because Ephesians, the theme for Ephesians or the essence of Ephesians, talks about building the body of Christ. We found out that the body of Christ consists of two elements. That's Jew and Gentile. I repeat, the essence of the body of Christ consists of two components or two elements or two parts or two subdivisions. Whatever you want to say, it's two things that make up the body, honey, and that is Jews and Gentiles. Look what the Bible says in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2, verse 11. Just to digress for a moment. The Bible said, "Remember in times past," that's chapter number 2, verse 11. "Remember in times past, if you were Gentile in the flesh, you were called the uncircumcision by that which was called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands." But look at the five-strike rule of Gentiles had. He said, first of all, number one, you was without Christ. Second, you were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Number three, you were strangers of the covenant of promise. Number four, you was without Christ. And number five, and without God in the world. But he said, but now in Christ Jesus, you being afar off is brought nigh by the blood of Jesus. And he was our peace, watch this, and made both one, what? Jew and Gentile, and have broken down the middle wall of partition. And verse number 18 says that we both have access to God. Who? Jew and Gentile. We both have access to God through the Spirit. I need Jesus Christ to be a part of the body, but I need the Holy Ghost to bring forth confirmation that I am a child of God. Can the church shout hallelujah? All right, anyway, so Jew and Gentile need the Holy Ghost speaking with tongues. All right, first we're going to talk about
my
the Jews.
God, my God.
Chapter number 2 talks about the Jews, and I'm just going to deal with scriptures dealing with the Jews getting saved first. See, let me digress for a moment. See, the Jews got the Holy Ghost in chapter number 2. Half Jew, Samaritans, got the Holy Ghost in chapter number 8. Non-Jew got the Holy Ghost in chapter number 10, and the Jews that were baptized in repentance heard the word from the Apostle Paul and got re-baptized in the name of Jesus, and Paul laid his hands on them, and they began to, okay, you know where we're going with this. So let's start now with the Jews getting saved. Okay, chapter number 2, starting at verse 4. I want you to take some notes now. The Bible says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Let me repeat that again. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. What's some other names for the Holy Ghost? They were all filled with the Comforter. They were all filled with the Spirit of Truth. They were all filled with the promise of the Father. So they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. If you notice, as the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, gave them the ability to speak. Do you know what the Holy Ghost was providing at that moment? Because if you read in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, he said, by the same Spirit, the diversity of tongues. So when you receive the Holy Ghost provides one of those gifts. Oh, Lord, have mercy. So here in chapter number 4, they received the Holy Ghost speaking in other tongues. But when the people downstairs heard them speaking in their language, the Holy Ghost provided the diversity of tongues because it was controlled by the same self-spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, the promise of the Father. So let me read chapter number 2, verse 4 again. And they, in the upper room, were all filled with the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, and the promise of the Father. Those are the titles for the Holy Ghost. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit, Holy Ghost, gave them utterance. The Holy Ghost there was providing the gifts of diversity of tongues, because it was controlled by the same self-spirit. Okay? Acts chapter number 4, verse 31. Still talking about the Jews now. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They were all filled with the Comforter. They were all filled with the Spirit of Truth. And they were all filled with the promise of the Father. But look what happened here. And they spake the word of God with boldness. I already told you that the Holy Ghost is the controller of the gifts. He said there's a gift of diversity of tongues, and there's a gift of word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. So the Holy Ghost was providing at that time, when they received the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, but they shifted into the word of knowledge and a word of wisdom by the same self-spirit. Okay, chapter number 8 right now. Now, those two chapters, let's go to chapter number 2 of Acts, verse 33. Remember earlier we talked about the Holy Ghost being the promise of the Father. This is what Peter said in the upper room before he commanded them to be baptized. He was preaching to the ones that were downstairs celebrating the feast Pentecost while upstairs the real party was going on. And I'm going to tell you something right now. If you can have a party in the Holy Ghost in your church, the people from the club will leave the club and come to your church, because where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. Oh, Lord, some of you need to have your church next to the club, so the club can hear you speaking in tongues. And when they hear you speaking in tongues, they'll get off the spirit of Budweiser. They'll get off the spirit of vodka, and they'll come on in and get an overdose of the Holy Ghost. You don't need no dope today. All you need is an overdose of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. All right. Anyway, okay, I got excited. Okay. So Acts chapter number 2, verse 33 says, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shown forth this which ye now see and hear. Because we found out, the Bible says, on the day of Pentecost was fully come, that's chapter number 2, verse 1, they were all in one place and in one accord, and suddenly a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And what appeared unto each of them on top of their head was clothing of tongue as a fire. And the Bible said they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance. So the evidence to the Jews concerning the Holy Ghost was speaking in tongues. I say it again, the evidence to the Jews regarding the Holy Ghost was speaking in tongues. All right, now we want to deal with the half-Jew. We already talked about the Jew receiving the Holy Ghost, and they had a word of wisdom and a word of diversity of tongue and a word of knowledge through the Holy Ghost. But they had to receive the Holy Ghost first. Now, I want you to turn now to the book of Acts, chapter number 8, verse 14 through 19. That's Acts chapter number 8, verse 14 through 19. I hope you're getting something out of this, because I am. That's Acts chapter number 8, verse 14 through 19. We talk about half-Jews, y'all, not Jews. The Jews received the Holy Ghost in chapter 2. Now we're talking about half-Jews. Samaritans are half-Jews. On your own study, go look it up. You'll find out what makes them half-Jews, because it'll go beyond the scope of our class today. But the Samaritans are half-Jews. So the Jews got it, full Jews, full-blown Jews got it in chapter number 2. Chapter number 8, half-Jews received the Holy Ghost. All right, here we go. Verse number 14 to 19, it says, now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria have received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. Let me say that again. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria have received the word of God, that's through Deacon Philip, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. In parentheses now, for as yet was falling upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So in other words, they had to call on Peter and John that they may come down and pray for them, to lay hands on them, that they may receive the Holy Ghost. Why? Because the Holy Ghost came through them laying on of hands, because they were only baptized in the name of Jesus through the way of Philip. So Philip baptized them in the name of Jesus, and Paul and Peter and John laid hands on them that they may receive the Holy Ghost. Now, let me continue. And when Simon the sorcerer saw through laying on of hands, or laying on the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. Shame on you. trying to buy this power. You can't buy this power. This power comes by receiving it. And all you got to do, if you don't have it, go to your church on next week. Go into your room. Go into your closet. Lord, I want to receive the Holy Ghost. And just start praising Him. And the Holy Ghost will come in, and you will know it. How? You'll tell us when you come back on the show. When you come back on the radio broadcast, you'll tell me. If you have your heart right and you want the Holy Ghost, God will give you the gift of the Holy Ghost, and you will let us know how you got it. Say yes.
All right.
You
will
let us know how you got it. Stop judging me, and I want you to pray. Some of you need to fast, because some things, this particular thing you need comes through fasting and prayer. And some of you need to seek God and say, Lord, I'm going to consecrate myself until you give me the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to leave the altar until you give me the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to leave the place where I need to believe until I receive the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to stop until I get this power. I want the Comforter. I want the promise of the Father. I want, hallelujah, the Spirit of Truth. I want the Holy Ghost. Say yes. Oh, I need it. I need it. I need it. Okay, let me get back here. Hey. All right. Anyway. Okay. Let's continue reading here.
Yes.
He said, and when Simon the sorcerer saw that through laying on of the apostles' hand, yes, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power. I said, the Holy Ghost is power. The Holy Ghost is a witness. The Holy Ghost is a teacher. But you need to get it. He said, give me also this power, that whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. That's Gentile. The Jews got it in chapter number 2. Half Jews got it in chapter number 8. And now let me take you to Gentiles. I'm half finished. I'm half finished now. The Gentiles, non-Jews. I would call this particular manifestation, when the Gentiles got it, the Jews got it in chapter number 2. The Bible said that Jesus, the Bible said that Peter said, I want Israel to know for a surety, that's 36, that same Jesus whom you crucified, God made them both Lord and Christ. The Bible says those that downstairs heard the word, they said they were pricked in their heart and asked the disciples and all the brothers, said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Look what Peter said. Peter didn't say go back down and party at Pentecost. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And he said, this promise is unto you and your children, and those that are called, as many as the Lord thy God shall call. God is still calling for people to receive the Holy Ghost, but you got to get it. If you don't get it, you got to ask God for it. And if you ask God with a sincere heart, He'll put it on you. The Holy Ghost can fall on you right now if you believe. But if you don't believe it, you can't receive it, and you can't have it. Therefore, you can't do nothing about it. All right. Gentiles having their own, the Gentile Pentecostal experience. See, the Jews had the Pentecostal experience speaking in tongues in chapter number 2. But the Gentiles, you're going to see, have the same experience of speaking in tongues, but it's going to be Gentiles, not Jews. Watch this. Watch this. I want you to turn now to the book of Acts chapter number 10, verse 44 to 48. That's Acts chapter number 10, verse 44 and 48. Can you say it along with me? Acts chapter number 10, verse 44 through 48. Let me just give you a moment to get it. Talk about the Jews, that the Gentiles, non-Jews, receiving the promise of the Father, receiving the Comforter, and receiving the Spirit of Truth. Yes, this thing is real, y'all, but you got to get it. You got to ask God for it. And don't be ashamed to ask God for something you don't have. Well, I thought I have it. If you don't have it, then get it. Don't be mad at me because I got it. I'm speaking in tongues because I got it, because the Spirit of God give utterance, not me.
I can't say shama. I tie my bow tie, you tie your bow tie. That ain't tongues. But when the Holy Ghost take over, it will speak.
Come on. All
right.
Ow! Tell them what say that. It don't speak, honey. All right. Acts chapter number 10, verse 44 through 48. This is what it says. While Peter yet spake these words, which was the gospel, the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, the promise of the Father, fell on all of them. It didn't just drip drop on them. It fell on all of them which heard the word. And they, of the circumcision, the Jews, which believed in chapter number 2, that was with Peter, which believed, were astonished. They were shocked. They were amazed. They were discombobulated. Why? As many as came with Paul. Why? Because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, how did they get the Holy Ghost? For they heard him speak with tongues.
What is glory you teaching this today?
For they heard him speak with tongues. They wasn't singing, and they wasn't quoting scripture. He said, and they heard them speak with tongues. Who? The Gentiles. Let me read that again from the beginning. While Peter yet spake these words, the gospel, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, the Jews, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter. Why? Because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Why? For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, the promise of the Father, the Spirit of Truth, as well as we. Why? We received it in chapter 2. But here in chapter number 10, honey, these Gentiles are talking in tongues. Yep, they not having stammering lips. They speaking in an unknown language because the Holy Ghost fell on them because they heard the word. If you hear the word, the Holy Ghost will fall on you, and you will speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God give utterance. I wish someone praise the Lord right now in tongues. Okay. So then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these who receive the Holy Ghost should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And look what happened with Peter did. And he, Peter, commanded them who received the Holy Ghost to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed them to tarry certain days. In other words, brother, we got the Holy Ghost now. Please show us what we have to do. Ain't no lying here. Every scripture I gave to you came from the words of mouth of God. Everything I told you there was not of my philosophical views, but the Holy Ghost. Because the Bible, the Word, the scriptures are not of any private interpretation, but it's inspired as men wrote, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. See, the Holy Ghost is an author. The Holy Ghost is a teacher. The Holy Ghost is a comforter. The Holy Ghost is a promise of the Father. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Truth. And when the Spirit of Truth has come, it will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance whatsoever you have need of. All right, I'm almost finished, y'all. All right. So, to recap, so far, the Jews received the Holy Ghost in chapter number 2, speaking with tongues. And then the Holy Ghost began to provide them with the gift of interpretation. No, the gift of diversity of tongues. And we find out in chapter number 4 of Acts, the Holy Ghost began to provide the word of wisdom and knowledge. Then we find out in chapter number, that was the Jews now, we find out in chapter number 8 that half Jews received this power of the Holy Ghost by the way of laying on the hands of Peter and John. Then we find out here in chapter number 10 that when Peter was preaching the word, when the word was yet in his mouth, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them that heard the word. And the Jews that heard it, that believed, were shocked because they heard, they saw that they received the Holy Ghost because they heard them speaking in tongues and magnifying God. I know I'm right. Well, I'm not talking about receiving the tongues. I'm receiving the Holy Ghost. Did you not hear me for the past hour and a half? Did you not understand the scripture said it? He said, in my name you shall speak with new tongues. Chapter number 2, they got it. Chapter number 8, they got it. Chapter number 10, they got it. But let's go to chapter number 19. Verse chapter number 19. In fact, I'm going to start reading verse number 1 of chapter number 19. Because some of you thinking I'm a liar. And I'm preaching this word. You can see, you can read the word scripture. Marriage is honorable in the bed undefiled. You take that one scripture and don't go to bed with another woman, another man. But, amen, the Bible is telling you you have to be born again of water and spirit. You need the baptism in Jesus' name. You need to speak in the tongues of the Holy Ghost. And you're calling me a liar. Shame on you. God is trying to tell you something. He's saying you need to be born again. You need the power of the Holy Ghost. You need that which the Father sent in Jesus' name as a comforter, as a spirit of truth, and as the promise of the Father. Amen.
My God.
Let's go to chapter number 19. I'm almost finished. I hope you're getting something out of this. I am.
Oh, yes, I am.
All right, here. Let's go to 19, starting at verse 1. Look what he says here. First, chapter number 19, verse 1 of Acts. He said, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast of Ephesus, or to Ephesus, and finding disciples or followers, certain disciples or followers, he said unto them, this is Paul saying now, have ye received the Holy Ghost? Have ye received the Comforter? Have you received the Spirit of truth? Have you received the promise of the Father? He said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Look at what they said to him. And they said unto him, Paul, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Then, you know, the Bible said the wind told you must be wise. Paul went on in verse number 3 and said, and he said unto him, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. You heard about that early on. We talked about how John prophesied about the baptism. He was baptizing with water. Well, he said, he that cometh after me going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And that was fine. So look what he said here. He said in verse number, verse number 4 of 19. He said, then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. Let me just digress for a moment. Why in the Bible, when they heard the word, they changed? But you won't change hearing what I'm saying. Let me repeat that again. Why in the first century church, whatever they heard, they did. But I'm telling you what the Bible says, but you reneging. Shame on you. If you don't understand the Holy Ghost today, shame on you. Okay, let me get back.
Amen.
Look what he says here. He says in verse number 5, when they heard, Paul said, saying this, they said, when they heard this, they were baptized. They got rebaptized, y'all. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. But I'm not going to stop there. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them. Now watch this. And they spake with tongues. Let me hear you say it. And they spake with tongues. and then the Holy Ghost provided the gift of prophecy. Let me tell you something. When you got the Holy Ghost, you can prophesy. When you got the Holy Ghost, you can heal. When you got the Holy Ghost, you can speak wisdom. And when you got the Holy Ghost, you can speak knowledge. When you got the Holy Ghost, you have diversity of tongues. And when you got the Holy Ghost, you can interpret tongues. When you get the Holy Ghost, you can have gift of administration. When you get the Holy Ghost, God can use you to the fullest. Say yes. Yes. Look what he said here. He said that when he had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And the Bible says in verse number 7 of 19, and all the men were about 12. Isn't that wonderful to know that in chapter number 2, the Jews got it? Chapter number 8, half Jews got it. Chapter number 10, non-Jews got it. And chapter number 19, those that were Jews that were baptized under John the Baptist heard the word, got rebaptized by the way of the name of Jesus, and they, when Paul laid his hands on them, they began to speak in other tongues. So therefore, in my closing, the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, Comforter, Promise of the Father, Spirit of Truth, they're all interchangeable titles for the Holy Ghost. You cannot say from this day forward you don't know what the Holy Ghost means. The Holy Ghost, however, has to be worked. When you get the Holy Ghost, the true Holy Ghost, it will teach you all things. It will be a witness to you and of Christ. And it will also bring forth the power in your life that you can become a witness of Jesus Christ. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you'll receive that which John the Baptist prophesied of, and also receive what Jesus said you needed. Jesus called these titles the Holy Ghost. He said the promise of the Father, the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth. Jesus said it before the Holy Ghost was given. But he said, go down to Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. In chapter 2, we said when the Holy Ghost, the day of Pentecost was fully come. They were in one place on the one accord, and suddenly a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind filled the whole house where they were sitting, and they received a miraculous birth of audio and visual manifestation of the Holy Ghost. They begin to feel the Holy Ghost, begin to speak in tongues, and then they begin to prophesy and go forth in the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. In chapter number 8, When the half Jews heard the word of Philip, because it was bewitched. Some of you need to get away from those witches, those witch doctors you under. You need the Holy Ghost. If you get the Holy Ghost, no one can put a spell on you. You get the Holy Ghost, no one can cast that on you. Because what? It's the power of God. Power, he said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If I got the Holy Ghost, I got the power of God in me, and I can shake up things in heaven, and I can shake up things in earth, and I can shake up things under the earth. I can speak, and things can happen. I can touch, and things be healed. I can prophesy, and things will come to pass. Yes, I got the Holy Ghost. I got God in me. Chapter number 2, Jews. Chapter number 8, half Jews. Chapter number 10, non-Jews. And then Jews that got baptized under another baptism heard the word and got baptized in Jesus' name. And when Paul laid his hands on them, they began to speak with tongues. Honey, don't worry about getting the tongues. Just get the Holy Ghost. And you today, in my closing, want that Holy Ghost? Ask God for it.
Jesus.
Don't call me up. Don't call up Minister Adrian. Ask God for it. And if your faith is not at the bar, you need to fast and pray. Some of you need to go on a one-day fast, a two-day fast. Some of you need to fast and pray that the Holy Ghost will come upon you. And when you get it, you'll be able to tell us, because we'll know you got it, because you'll start speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God give utterance. The Holy Ghost has a language. The Holy Ghost has a power. The Holy Ghost has a title. The Holy Ghost has characteristics. Look what the Bible said. The Bible said, now the fruit of the Holy Ghost, or the fruit of the Spirit, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, you know, all those attributes. But the Bible said, now that's in the 21st or 22nd verse of the book of Galatians, chapter number 5. But look what he said in chapter number 5, verse 16 and 17 first. He said, walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And he said that the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit lusts against the flesh. And these are two are contrary one to another, that you will not be able to be what you would be. But look what he said in verse number 19. He said, now the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? The first one is adultery. The other is uncleanness. And then he got 17 and such like. But look what you have to do. You got to manifest the fruit of the Spirit. You got to manifest the armor of God. He said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. Why? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. In order for me to battle spiritual wickedness, I need spiritual warfare. I need spiritual instruments. I need spiritual weaponry. And the only thing that can provide that is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Father, the promise of the Father, and the Spirit of truth. You need it. Pray to God for it. And when God gives it to you, strive to keep it. God bless you, ladies and gentlemen, faith of God and friends. You need to receive the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. Thank you. God bless.
Evangelist Bernard?
I'm through.
Okay. Evangelist Bernard?
Praise the Lord. Yes, ma'am. Praise the Lord. Dr. Singleton, I tell you, hallelujah.
Wow, come on, say that. Hey, hey, Lord. Somebody needs the Holy Ghost right now. You need to speak in tongues.
Yes.
He said, build up your most holy faith. Rain in the, someone needs to pray in the Holy Ghost right now. Deliverance is in the Holy Ghost. Pray right now in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise him in the Holy Ghost right now.
Thank you. Thank you.
Somebody need to pray in the Holy Ghost for deliverance. Get that spell off of you right now. The Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. You said, I haven't spoken in a long time. Let the Spirit give utterance. Praise him in the Holy Ghost right now. Praise him in the Holy Ghost right now. Hallelujah. Watch the tongues go forth. Yes. Give it up. Oh, hallelujah. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Oh,
there it is.
Sister Doris.
I know you got strength to get out of there. Hallelujah. Hey, glory to God. Anybody on the line, anything? Ooh, ain't nothing else left for me to say. Hallelujah. I'm about to see you. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So if anybody on the line they have anything they wanna, well, they wanna ask a question, they're welcome to that. Ain't nothing else left to do but just keep on praising God. It's over for me.
A movie with Karen Howard on it.
Sister Dars.
Yes, praise the Lord. My area is noisy right now, so
okay.
I just thank God for the, yes, I was really touched and blessed by the teachings today.
Okay.
Thank you so much. I'm really blessed. God bless him, the pastor. Thank you.
God bless you.
Amen.
Okay, we're going to a number I'm not familiar with. Area code 209-2724. Your line is open.
That's Lois McCullough, Pastor Lois, and I tremendously enjoyed the message today, and it's really something that every believer needs in times like this. We need power to overcome all the onslaught of the devil today. So this is a much-needed teaching, and I appreciate Dr. Singleton for all the in-depth study that he did to prepare the children of God to receive the precious and powerful Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Praise
Thank
God
you.
For you.
Thank you.
Come
on, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Lois. Hallelujah. I'll be speaking minister Sunday at Pastor
Lois'
church on Sunday. So, Pastor Lois, if you could get that information out. Anybody in this area will be ministering at her church on Sunday. So, Pastor Lois, you're welcome to give them your
Well, I'm just
message.
Excited about Sunday. Evangelist Adrian will be Bernard. Evangelist Adrian Bernard, this great woman of God, will be our speaker on Sunday at 3:30. We'll not only have her ministering to the people, but following that, we will have a foot washing service. We're going to do what Jesus did. I'm going to ask them to wash the feet and give them some more power to run on for Jesus. So that's all. And pray for us that we will be effective and that somebody will receive the Holy Ghost and fire on Sunday. Evangelist Bernard preaches the word. And because people need power. They need power, even as they watch the TV. And when we got, let me tell you, when you got the Holy Ghost, you know, you can't help but to love God and love his people. I mean, you got to, I can't help but to do right. When you submit yourself to the Holy Ghost and fire. So I just praise God for the teaching. I praise God for the opportunity to share our plans for Sunday with our events. Adrian Bernard, and pray for us that we will do God's will, God's way, according to his word. Thank you.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Pastor McCullough. We're excited. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Looking forward to it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Sister Shaw.
Amen.
Sister Shaw.
Amen. Yes. Oh, praise the Lord. I thank the Lord for this word on today. I had been going through studying this gift from God, myself, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And as I went through, it took me in so many directions and so many gifts and so many names. And what really meant to me so was to learn that he was a person. That this spirit is a person that comes upon us when we fully relinquish ourselves to the Lord. For God is holy. We must be holy in order to receive this holy gift from him. And one scripture that really impressed on my heart was, let me see, where is it at? I just had it. How it told us in Ephesians 4:30, that we don't grieve the Holy Spirit. It says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom we were sealed from the day of redemption. And it just shows you that he has feelings, he speaks, he communicates with us, and you can't grieve him. And we just have to treat that gift ever so preciously as we walk in the gift of God. This is an impartation of the Spirit of the Lord, and we must treat it that way. And I just thank the Lord for this word today. It really, really, it just really touched my heart. And in searching my studies of scriptures, I was able to see where the Holy Spirit was in Genesis, how it was laid on top of the waters, and you go all the way into Revelation. So as you go throughout the Bible, glory to God. I just thank you, man of God. This word really touched my heart. I just thank the Lord for you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Lord have mercy. You took us back. That's another message there.
That's right. Glory.
All right, Sister Dad, I like that.
To be continued.
To be continued, yes.
Sister Kim?
That was good. To be continued. Lord have mercy.
Sister Kim?
Amen. Who else, Sister Ruby?
We're calling Sister Kim, I think it is. Sister Kim?
God bless you.
Yeah, your line is open. Go for it.
I just thank God for the message today, and it is really helpful, and all I can say is amen, because it was preached and it was taught, and if you didn't get nothing out of it, you just don't want nothing. So I just thank God for it, and all I can say is hallelujah. I'm just going to say amen.
Amen.
Now we'll be going back into the archives, listen to this over and over, because it is some good studying, and I just thank God I was able to get in and listen to it today too as well.
Wow. Amen, amen.
Thank you.
All the way from Louisiana, that's my home, girl. Not New Orleans, Louisiana, Kentwood. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Sister Kim.
Amen. Sister Cammy?
Yeah, praise God. I was going in and out, so I'm going to have to go back to the archive and listen to it. But I just want to thank God for the series and thank you, Father, for Sister Bernard.
Wow, Winston,
I appreciate everything that's been going on. I really have. So, again, blessings to all you, and thank you. It's so powerful. It's been such a powerful week. I'm really sure. It's been so powerful. As much you can say when it's about teaching, preaching, that's not too much you can say. I just say thank you. So I appreciate it.
Thank you,
Albertine.
Thank you, Lord.
Albertine. Oh. Sister Albertine?
Thank you, Lord.
Sister Albertine? Okay, she's not answering, so that's at this moment. So that's all.
Amen. Hello? Amen. Amen. Sister Ruby, well, we're going to air remarks from you, then we're going to have Dr. Singleton to close us on. I tell you, man, this is going on in the classic, classic category. I tell you, I have to talk with this young lady that's going to help break these series down for me. And I'm just praying. I want you all to pray that God will bless us with the finances to get these messages like this, where we can send them out to the world. This is a message that everybody that profess to be a Christian need to hear. Woo! Glory to God. This man, and you know what? He couldn't have taught this if the anointing of the Holy Ghost wasn't in his belly. God anointed this man to teach this. Whoa! Glory to God. I mean, he took us from line upon line, precept upon precept. He taught this word today. I've never heard nobody talk about the Holy Ghost and teach it. And I'm not saying it because he's one of my favorites. I'm saying it because the power of God rests on Dr. Singleton. Hallelujah. And he's not here for no popularity, no fame. He don't profess to be no great prophet. He is just a man of God that loves God's word. This young man, he's eating, he's sleeping, he's walking, he's talking. You can call him any time of the day. I don't care if it's 3 or 4 in the morning, and you ask him something about this word, he going to wake up out of his sleep and give you a word. Am I lying?
No, ma'am.
Dr. Singleton. I don't care where he's at. He can be at the bus station. Hallelujah. He's going to tell somebody. Don't let nobody ask him anything pertaining to the Lord. Glory to God. Man, Winnie, Dr. Singleton, you have taught this lesson today. And anybody have any fear, if they have any struggles about the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit being something that you need to continue your progress in the Lord, well, guess what? Every question has been answered today. You don't need to ask another question. Just go back on the archives if you got access to the internet and hear this word again and get a tape recorder. And that's what I do with Dr. Singleton. Every time when we get to talking, I have a tape recorder. Because guess what? I can't recapture what he said at that time, and he's anointed. I said, wait, Winnie. If I don't have my recorder on, I have a notepad and a pen. Because everything he says, it's of God. It's of God. He's not one into denomination that you. Oh, if you invite him to preach in the temple, what the Jehovah's, he'll go right in there and preach the word. Hey, glory to God. He don't care. Because they're not going to convert him. If anybody be converted, they're going to be converted by the word that God have put in this name. Lord, have mercy. This is, are you to mess me up here today, Winnie?
God is good.
I don't know which way to go today. I'm like, I'm spinning around, and you know how you're drunk in the spirit? That's how I feel. I feel like I'm just slain. I don't know which way to go. Lord, let me come back down. Hallelujah,
you,
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
The word. Sister Ruby, let's have some remarks from you, and we're going to let Dr. Singleton close us on out. Hey, God, we're going to see if we can get him back next week or whenever he's available. We need to, this is what we need teaching. He can hoop anytime. He can moan, and he plays instruments. He sings. He's a worship leader. He does all that stuff. Hallelujah. But we need, after we done did the jumping and the shouting, guess what? What word did you retain? Did you retain anything? Oh, God. Go ahead, Sister Ruby. Now, Dr. Singleton, I'm done. Man, you done messed me up here today. A word.
I want to thank everyone for being on the broadcast as well as out there in the radio land. We thank the Lord. I always have this motto. I want to not only show you what I know, I want to share with you what I know, because if I only just show you what I know, then I can manipulate what I think you need to have. But if I can share what I know to you, then you can be able to share in the essence and in the pursuit of happiness in terms of receiving the blessings of God's word. And so if we, as people of God, can have a mindset to share, God has given us gifts and callings to be able to share, not just for your immediate family, but for the body of Christ, then the world will be a better place. So I want to thank everyone. Just keep me in your prayers that I'll continue to allow God to use me and I can be a tool and an uplift to the body of Christ. Thank you very much.
Glory to God. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Sister Ruby?
Oh, praise the Lord.
What?
Oh, I thought he had closed out.
No, we asked you for some remarks before he closed out.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, what can you say? It was a preach, teach. It, matter of fact, it was a teach word. I thank Jesus Christ for anointing you, Dr. Singleton, from heaven above his people, because it truly was a teaching that I haven't heard either. So I just thank you for being obedient to Jesus Christ and coming on the line for his people. I was asking the Lord today, I say, you know, the evangelist agent was saying, well, the what is it, the gift of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. And I was saying, well, Lord, in the beginning it was a promise to the people. You know, where did that happen? But you taught it all, the Spirit of truth, the Comforter, and the promise. Lord, like evangelist Bernard, I'm just filled up. I know that the Lord is and leading and guiding and feeding his people the unadulterated truth on this broadcast with you. So I just praise the Lord for you being so faithful and obedient to the service of the King. Pray my strength in the Lord.
Amen. 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 We're going to ask Dr. Singleton before I close. Dr. Singleton, we want to lift up prayer for Pastor Hamilton. And I should have done that yesterday, but I did not. You know, you got things going on here, there, everywhere, so you forget.
What is his name again?
Pastor Edward Hamilton. He's our pastor that teaches for us on Fridays, for Provoke Fridays. He had to say they think it was a light stroke. We haven't heard anything else from him, but he was in the hospital, so we want to pray healing for him in the name of Jesus.
Father God, in the name of Jesus right now, we come before you in the presence of you and the Holy Ghost. Father, we thank you, Father, because, Lord, you have given us power. Lord, you told us that we can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We can pray the prayer of faith and it can heal the sick. Father, we ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, under the sound of our words in the Holy Ghost, Lord God, that you go into the room wherever the pastor is. And touch his body right now for the crown of the head and the shoulders. Father, we thank you for the believers that are touching and agreeing right now. Lord, we believe, Lord, through the Holy Ghost, that you're going to heal him and bring him back, Lord, because he is an instrument of you, Lord. And, Lord, you said that you would that none should perish, but all come into repentance and be saved. Father, we thank you for the work that you're going to do. Father, we ask you, Lord, for the pastor to call us in the very near future, to let us know that what we pray for as a collective body, that with the healing has made itself known. And, Father, we thank you. Those that's on the line, those that, Lord God, that have a need to, Lord God, get more deeper in the Holy Ghost, we, Father, ask you right now to give them understanding. Give them, Lord God, the perseverance. Give them the stick-to-itiveness. Give them, Lord God, the readiness of mind that when you use them in the Holy Ghost, that they'll walk in it. And that they'll bring forth the manifestation thereof. And Lord, bless this radio broadcast. Bless the Lord God, the founder, and those that's working along with them. We thank you, Lord God, and we give you praise. Until next time, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. And we just want to thank Dr. Singleton. And again, we thank the Lord for you, Dr. Singleton. We ask the Lord to go with you and give you safe travel as you travel to your destination, and that everything that you need to take care for your ministry, that God would just open up the floodgates of heaven. Hallelujah. We're praying for Dr. Singleton. We're praying for Greater Enrichment Ministries. And we're praying for some new doors, new opportunities to come forth in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We're praying that God will continue to anoint him, that God will continue to keep his word, hallelujah, forever in his belly where he can impact souls, hallelujah, and he can change the total man. Oh, God, we thank you for Dr. Singleton. Remember his wife, Jenny Singleton, Lord God. We asking you to touch her, God, and let your blood cover their home while he's gone. Send your angels, Lord God, to shield and protect his wife, God. Remember his leadership, God. We're asking you to continue to bless them, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, and we give you praise, God, and we count it, God, in the name of Jesus. Everything that he's poured out to the saints, God, poured back into him, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless you for it. And we give you glory. We give you glory, God, all that you're doing in his life. Hallelujah. Eyes have not seen, neither have you heard what you have prepared for Dr. Singleton. Hallelujah, because he's been faithful. Hallelujah. He's been a good steward. And glory to God, he has kept, hallelujah, your promises. Hallelujah. And he has always been wonderful and kind and loving to the saints of God. Oh, God, and we thank you, Lord God, for we know that you are a rewarder to those that diligently seek you, Lord God. We thank you for him, God. We thank you for Sister Ruby. We thank you for Evangelist Doris. Thank you for Evangelist Albertine. Hallelujah. Thank you for and all those that was on the line today. Pastor McCullough, God. Ah, God, we thank you for him. Sister Cammie, God, we thank you for him. In the name of Jesus, we bless you and we give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name, we'll be on tomorrow. Tomorrow is Provoked Fridays, but we're still talking about the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, of the Holy Spirit. Dr. Singleton has told us there is no difference. Hallelujah, they are interchangeable. And glory to God. So we just thank God. Hallelujah, we bless the Lord. Have a beautiful day. In Jesus'
name. Thank you.
Are we going to close out with Lay It Down by Troy Sneed?
I'm believing that God is going to work a miracle in your life by the end of this song. No matter what situation you find yourself in right now, just know that all you have to do is leave it at the feet of Jesus, my brother and my sister. Listen.
Lay it down, all of your heartache, all guilt and shame. Lay it down, lay it down.
The Bible says,
cast your cares upon him, he'll hear your call. Lay it down, lay it down.
Promise
he would never leave, not forsake your friends indeed. Lay it down.
War cry. You should be feeling better by now. But just in case you just got into your car, let us say it again. All of your problems, all of your pain,
lay it down.
Brighter.